government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this. What's today? Well, it's the 15th on the West Coast, 15th of October, and the 16th of October on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones, as well as the rest of the world to the east, and we want to welcome anyone who's listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com, whether live or on a rebroadcast. Lots of news today. What did the mainstream media report? Well, a young man, 6 years old, untethered his father's weather balloon. It's a weather balloon shaped very much like a flying saucer. We won't call it a UFO because we know it's a weather balloon. It had no crash dummies on it. There was fear that the young man had somehow gotten in the gondola and taken off. This thing was going, it appeared, several hundred miles an hour. It caught a really high jet stream, and as it was losing helium, it was traveling across the state of Colorado. The young man, it turns out, was hiding in the attic of the garage. He was afraid his father was going to be upset having touched the flying saucer weather balloon. This gentleman was on a TV show some time ago. I guess the whole family, they do this thing, I think it's an ABC series, where they swap wives. And the wife...
Wait a minute. Hold it. Let me explain.
Wait. Hang on now. I haven't introduced you yet. So this is a report I heard this evening, anyway, on mainstream radio, that the family had been involved in this TV show where the mothers basically helped the family get it together. I don't think it always works. I think the family resents another woman being in the house and ordering the kids around, telling them how to clean up and all of that. It's just another crazy story. Another something to divert the attention away from what's really going on in this country. And with that, I guess I'll bring tonight's guest on the air. He couldn't restrain himself. He has his own radio show Monday through Friday on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. It's called A Marine's Disquisition. I'm a frequent guest on that show, usually on Mondays. And he is back again for an exciting time. Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show. Now,
I get excited, you know. I had a friend call me up today. He said, yeah, you know, what kind of people is it? It's a wife swap. And I said, wait a minute here. Wife swap? Give me a break. And I said, oh, they trade their wife. And she happened to be from the poor side of the wife trade-off program. And you very eloquently hit it right on the nail there. It's just another distraction of the idiot box in taking the American public, setting the American public down, and mind control.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, the implications that they wife swap, meaning the wife swap out, and... it's a sexual concur. That's not how it works.
No. We're not talking about swingers here. We're just talking about a guy that.
Well, that's what he said he was.
Yeah. a guy that likes to fly weather balloons happened to have another man's woman visit for a few weeks, trying to get the family together.
30 days.
It's
a 30-day thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy show. If you've seen it,
I saw it a couple of times only because I have a sister that just she's. Oh my gosh, she takes the world of that stuff.
Well, I'd like to see them maybe work something out where they combine it with Dancing with the Stars, you know, and really make a party out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Drew.
I got an idea.
What's that?
We could get Michelle Obama to trade off with one of the wives down in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans.
Or we could get her to trade off with Hillary Clinton. How would that be?
Oh, well, I don't know if that'd work because Bill's never around anyway.
Yeah, isn't it his office in Harlem?
Yeah, just down the street from James David Manning.
That's what I was going to say. We could send Dr. Manning over there and
he could go ahead and do a little exorcist.
Yeah. Well, you've had a pretty wild week, as I have. What's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Rain.
Rain, huh?
Rain. God, oh my, is it rain? You ask. What's been going on in my neck of the woods? Rain.
Well, how about your research neck of the woods? What's going on?
Really, do you really want to go down that rabbit hole?
Well, sure. Why not?
I dug up this. I dug this case up. I'm here doing my normal Sundays. I normally just hang out and do a little. Old time radio, and my throat's a little hoarse, ladies and gentlemen, because I've done four radio shows today. So this last Sunday, I'm doing my old time radio show for a marine radio station over in Europe. I mean, in Southeast Asia, and this kid comes in and asks a question about the lawsuit that Patricia has with Obama, and that's the Allen Keyes lawsuit that people refer to, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, "Well, what about the one in New Jersey?" And I had pulled that up and had mentioned it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have a whole lot of information on it. And it seems like the people in New Jersey have been knowing about this sucker since January. But I haven't seen a lot of it in the news media.
No, and I haven't seen any, to tell you the truth, on my end, until you brought it to my attention.
And I sent it out. I turned around and sent it out. And this is what's, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is, you know, New Jersey, do we not have newspapers in New Jersey? The last I heard, they didn't know how to read and write. I mean, is there something up in New Jersey that I need to know about? I mean, golly, this was unreal. So I said, well, yeah, I just discovered this, but he said, well, you know, we talk about it up here all the time, and that's all I hear on your show. And it's the Kirshner versus Obama. It's really Kirshner, E-T-A-L, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sitting here just going over this thing, and they're not getting anywhere close to the notoriety that the Orley Tontz lawsuit in California is referred to as the Keyes lawsuit.
You mean Orley Tates?
Orley Tates.
Yeah. I just didn't want you to confuse that with anybody else.
Well, I can't. How can you confuse a Russian woman that comes to America as beautiful as she is, okay, and does a lawsuit against the president of the United States, the usurper, at that, okay? Anyhow, so I got a copy of this, and I sent it out to just about all my personal friends. And you were at the top of the list. Matter of fact, you were one of the ones that got it with the top three. And all of a sudden, nobody knows about this lawsuit except, you know, me. I found out about this, and now I've been on radio shows all week discussing this lawsuit that has come about. And the judge has just issued an order in this case, kind of chastising both sides because they both been getting a little antsy about wanting with a motion to dismiss. Not that the Puzo law firm wants to dismiss. They're fighting the dismissal. They're the ones that brought the lawsuit together for Kirshner, Justice Department, i.e. the United States Attorney General, has got their lawyers in there asking the judge to dismiss this case. Now we've got Obama sitting there as the usurper. This long-legged Mac Daddy, SOB, has got the Justice Department now working for him and not independent lawyers. So now we, the people, are footing the bill. Now, that kind of makes me a little mad there, and to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, he's relying on, well, word is that, you know, he hasn't been able to get his hands on as much money as he had hoped. Many of these illegal transactions that have been going on have been recently found out. There was a report a few days ago, if you remember. I think I was on your show and I mentioned $27 trillion. Later that day, it was $38 trillion, and the next day, it was more than $50 trillion that he and, you know, let's just say numbers 41 through 44 were all involved in trying to steal this money and throw in Hillary Clinton.
That's true. And that's what she's doing over there right now, is trying to raise it because they've stole $80 trillion of the Social Security money. And Social Security hadn't got any more money to steal.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to, and all of a sudden they've got to have money that is direly needed to pay the American people that are over 65 years old that are collecting their Social Security. And there's a lot of retirees out there that are 62 years old, that are filing early claim retirement because they've been laid off at age 58 and they haven't worked for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to get some money, so they're trying to get their Social Security. And you know what the maximum is that Social Security pays out on a monthly basis?
Not very much, I would guess.
Well, the minimum is $700. The maximum is 15. Not a lot to live on.
No.
Anyhow, I want to quote Mr. Apuzzo. I want to quote Mr. Apuzzo. I want to quote the Judge Jerome B. Simandl. Quote, and this is a letter that he sent out to both attorneys, okay? And, just to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, the United States Justice Department, Elizabeth Ann Paschal, is the senior assistant United States attorney in New Jersey. She's handling the case. Now we don't have a civilian, and we don't have Obama spending his own personal money defending his stand that he doesn't have to give up his birth certificate. He's got you, the American people, and the deep pockets of the United States Department of Justice. Anyway, it comes out, he sends this to both lawyers. Dear counsel, I have received Mr. Apuzzo's letter of yesterday's date. Please be assured that these matters are receiving the court's attention. I remind counsel that both sides have obtained enlargements of time for submitting your written arguments to the court. Briefing upon the motions was not complete until July 31st, 2009. And these parties and the parties have raised many issues and arguments. Counsel and clients may expect a written determination as soon as my research and my decision upon these issues are completed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you look at this, and it sounds like a straightforward letter, but this is a U.S. magistrate judge who's taking the time to come out and say, look, lawyers, leave me alone. It's only October the 2nd. The massive amount of paperwork that you put in takes time for me to go through and read it all. And what's he reading? What's it all about? It's about a motion to dismiss. And it looks like he ain't going to let it get dismissed. He's got it scheduled for trial on January the 20th, 6 days before the Orley Tate's trial in California. Now we've got two lawsuits, one on each coast, on the right of Obama sitting as president. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting.
We've been talking about the Orley Tate's lawsuit as a distraction for like 2 or 3 months, and we haven't even heard about this lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in and I start looking at it, and we're talking about major paperwork.
Okay, are you still there?
One document.
Yeah. I lost you for a second there. Okay, you
said. No, I have a cough switch, and when I sneeze, I have to hit the cough switch.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I didn't want to tell the public. I was going to type it out for you.
No, you know, normally you have a big booming voice, the big booming voice of a former U.S. Marine.
Well,
I want to ask you, Drew, when is your big booming voice not a big booming voice?
When I'm asleep?
No, actually, the correct answer is when it's a little hoarse.
No, when I'm asleep.
Anyway, go ahead. Okay, you were saying.
Anyhow, I pulled up about 3 or 4 of these pleadings. I mean, I didn't download them because they're like, you know, $12 and $13 for each one. Ladies and gentlemen, each page costs 8 cents. And we're talking about $12 to $13. We're talking about some hefty paperwork.
Yeah.
And this has been going on. This lawsuit was filed on January the 20th, 2009. So I'm a little bent here. Here we are. The American people are having to pay to defend something that we have a right to know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, looks like he's going to come forward with his response. As you said, he's got a schedule for January 20th, 6 days before Orley Tate's case is heard. So this ought to be pretty interesting. And I wonder, you wonder if there are any others out there that we haven't found.
Well, the name Obama is very common in the judicial system, so it's kind of hard. And a lot of people, a lot of lawsuits go down in the system when you're suing the government, as Obama's name is going to be there as President of the United States, and not suing him personally, but they're suing the government and its officers. And when they sue the officers, Obama's the first in line of the officers, therefore the court is obligated to put the lawsuit down as, hypothetically, reigns against Obama. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're really hard to find. And here I am looking at this lawsuit, and this lawyer, this Apuzzo law firm, is a block from Dr. David James Manning's office. One block away.
Wow.
And Dr. David J. Manning didn't even know about this lawsuit.
Hmm. Well, he knows about it now.
He knows about it now.
Yeah, you had him on your show recently, and that was a great show. He's got a really powerful message about what people should do. He's really being proactive about this whole thing. And... You had you interviewed Bob Chapman today, and you know, you've heard me rail about this financial corruption, and he made a pretty poignant statement about the status of the amount of criminality that's occurring in this country right now on high levels, as far as the banks are concerned, the Federal Reserve and et cetera, the Treasury. In the nutshell, does he support what we have been saying? I think it's important for those that haven't heard to, you know, to sort of get a paraphrase of what he said.
Basically, he said the government is the government of the United States is being run by a bunch of criminals. And in a nutshell, they're the ones that are trying to, quote, find money to continue the misappropriations of funds, basically. You know, there was one of the things that he and I did not get into, and that was the foreclosure of homes around the United States, that it's the worst three-month period in the history of America on foreclosures, despite all these signs that of a broader economic recovery. The number of foreclosures out there, ladies and gentlemen, and the number of foreclosure filings have hit an all-time record for the third quarter of this year. And this is basically a sign that this plague is spreading, and Bob Chapman calls it all that a bunch of lies, and with the stock market going up above 10,000 right now, he bluntly came out and said next week it's going to start going down. It may crash a little bit, but it's going to start going down, and it's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this chimes directly with his prediction from last year, where he said that it would that the market would go down, have a plateau, go down, have a plateau, go down, have a plateau, and then have a little recovery, and then it would just literally crash. Well, I had to go back and listen to about 12 or 13 of his shows. Now, that's once a week, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about 12 or 13 weeks of radio shows with Dr. Chapman. So I have to go through and look for all those shows. And there they are. He makes this statement very, very succinctly about the market doing these plateaus. And today he actually came back and he said that this is what I was referring to as the retrieval. And it looks like it's going to start going down next week. But he didn't come out today and say that it was going to go down and not stop.
Mm-hmm.
But he says get out of the stock market.
Now, did he mention anything about our noncompliance with Basel II and Basel III? Because we were supposed to be on a gold standard for some time. And this was going back a couple of years ago, actually. December 10th, I think it was the deadline. Maybe it was December 1st of 2007. We went all the way through 2008, 2009 so far, and we're not in compliance. It's just money laundering and theft and hypothecation of money that doesn't even exist. And you know, the real estate has been the key to all of this obfuscation. You know, they've turned over thousands and thousands of properties, tens of thousands of properties, over to these foreign banks, and basically the banks that were holding securities, which are worthless, are demanding that they get something for them. So they're just illegally, this is these mortgage pass-through accounts. This is illegal because the actual people who own the houses are not being told that these properties are being handed over to these other banks. Deutsche Bank is one such bank. Now, I'll tell you something. As of about a week ago, I heard that the state of Ohio is going after those responsible for this. There's going to be an investigation. And I've been railing about this for a couple of years, and evidently somebody's probably listened to the show. I know of a few politicians that have.
Well, there's a few honest judges out there that just, they put a stop to all of this foreclosure madness, where the rightful mortgagor was not filing paperwork into the court system, and the mortgagees were standing up and fighting as, hey, wait a minute, this isn't the rightful owner of my mortgage. This is just somebody that says that he owns the mortgage on my house, and there's no evidence in the courthouse that shows he is. So why am I in the courtroom with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this reeks of the old cartoon back in the 40s and the 50s, if you remember Smedley. You know, the little cartoon where, what's his name, the Canadian Mountie would run out there.
Snidely Whiplash was somebody else. Dudley Do-Right.
That's it, Dudley Do-Right.
Dudley Do-Right. Snidely Whiplash was a bad guy, I think.
Yeah, he would run out there, and that's basically what it was all about. You know, here he was. That the people are coming forth and they're fighting, and here's this judge. He said, wait a minute, this is the wrong guy. I mean, you don't have any jurisdiction in this courtroom here, guy. You have no standing. So they threw out, and we're not talking about one or two or three or four or five. We're talking about over 300 cases. Well, these are 300 homeowners that have very quietly won the ownership of their house when they literally owed hundreds of thousands of dollars on their property.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, ladies and gentlemen, they bought their house with a paper entry on a piece of paper where the original mortgagor said, okay, well, we'll loan you $250,000, but all it was a paper transaction on their books where they said, okay, well, we've got $10,000 on the books in deposits, so we can write $1 million worth of houses. Well, mm-hmm. That's 10 cents on the dollar, ladies and gentlemen. So, how much money was the bank really loaning on a $250,000 house? $25,000.
Well, so, yeah, I think it was in 2007. Like by January 2007, the amount of money that the banks were required to have as cash on hand per the Federal Reserve was 2% of whatever the loan was. So if they made a $100,000 loan, all they had to do was have $2,000 in the bank. And, of course, the people didn't see that money. Like you said, this was just a line item entry. Now, all the people that have been paying for their houses for years and then lost their home had equity in their homes. And, of course, when the homes were foreclosed upon, they lost that equity. And they do have recourse in that light. Carl Pearson has talked about it, that if they come to foreclose, just stop paying them. Stop paying them and hold on to your equity. And you can probably, according to Carl, you can stay in your house 2 to 3 years and take all that money that you've saved on payments and your equity and go out and buy a new house.
Yep.
Free and clear. Pay cash for it. And, you know, when you look at the fact that somebody who buys a $100,000 house and is making payments over 30 years, they're really paying $300,000 on $2,000 that was actually put up as capital to back that. That's obscene. What's going on? But that's usury credit. That's exactly what we have. And, you know, that can't last forever. What's happening is because they've stolen what money has been out there, and they're taking it out of all the public programs. Drew, I can't emphasize that enough. I see it over and over and over again. Doesn't matter if I'm doing the genealogical research on a political figure, or if I'm doing something on a guy like Captain Hilton of the Hardin, Montana saga that went on, this scam being played on the people in Montana. The money laundering and the corruption is incredible there. And, you know, we've been over that 1,000 times, but, you know, I heard Bob make that statement that this is corruption like you can't imagine. Even when you start finding out what is going on, you can't imagine how deep it goes and how widespread it is. And where is the media throughout?
When's it going to stop? You know, it's hard to envision the banks putting millions of dollars on properties that are up for sale and catering the prices. You know, the bottom line is this false recovery that they're saying is coming, is that even those that know the massive amount of fraud, they'll say, well, we're out of this, but the recovery is going to be long and slow, and gradual. Well, you know, quoting one of the investing banks out there, we don't see the home prices getting much better until after 2013. Well, they're just covering their backside while they can get as much money as they can to get out of the Dodge. And where are they going to hide there, Don? Around the world. They think that they can go to Argentina and hide? I got news for you. This is not just a USA problem. This is going on around the world. And the American people and the rest of the people in other countries, when this whole thing comes about, the 1789 French Revolution is going to look like a cake-baking contest.
Wow. I didn't know they still had those, other than on these reality shows on TV. Wow.
The churches still have them to raise money for churches. You don't go out to the bazaars anymore, do you?
Yeah.
So anyway, bottom line is, you know, the Americans are very familiar with W and his stance, but it's time this time around this foreclosure in the economy, is this severe downturn, is not really a going to have any form of recovery. It's such a severe downturn that foreclosures across America have just really continued to get worse and worse. There's people out there that's been foreclosed on that they haven't even taken it to the bank because the banks have got so many properties that on the books. And I'll give you a classic example, ladies and gentlemen. In Las Vegas, Nevada, 1 in 23 people have been foreclosed on. 1 in 23 people just last month. It's not, and it doesn't look much better in Arizona or California or Florida or Maryland and other states out there that are looking to join this super red block that Nevada is in, or Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Alabama, and Tennessee, and Virginia.
And West Virginia. I mean, they're doing this to people in West Virginia.
And West Virginia. West Virginia is also, it's on the verge of a full collapse. Well, West Virginia on this map is so small you can't see it, but it's almost on the verge of turning bright red.
Hmm.
So they're not far behind Nevada.
Yeah. Now, we had California first, and it's no surprise when they were running this whole operation out of California. First of all, I have to say it likely started in Cook County, Illinois. And the laundering that was going on between Maricopa County, where Sheriff Joe Arpaio is, by the way. He's busy arresting aliens, and in the meantime, the powers that be are stealing billions of dollars of real estate. Phony lawsuits, phony court proceedings, phony divorces, transfer of war deeds, and all kinds of deeds. The Indian properties, some of this stuff is being pooled in illegal trusts with judges and attorneys and psychiatrists that are appointed to some of these guardian ad litem cases that are going on in other states. And, of course, it ties in with Utah, too. The Mormon Church is part of this. And we know this for a fact that this is going on. I talked to A. Truott about this. He had a business taken from him and lost over half of the equity that he had in it, fighting over politicians and you know, corrupt politicians that were in bed with members of the church.
Well, so, you know, I'm moving around my voice here. Bottom line is that as a real estate broker, I didn't borrow any money against my company, but I had to step away from that company. I didn't lose it. I just closed it. And at one time, it was worth $5 million. You know, on paper, because that was what it was worth with the amount of money that it was bringing in the sale of houses. And I found out how corrupt the system was, and I just basically walked away from the real estate business. And now I help people buy houses, but I don't do it with the government license. I work as a consultant and show people, well, wait a minute, these people are saying this house is worth $120,000, but that's only because the realty track and the real estate broker with the license from the state says it's worth, with their appraisers. So they're saying this is what the property is worth at $320,000, and it's gone down in value $25,000. But Mr. Smith, in all honesty, the property value is really sitting here at $190,000. If you were to pay $300,000 for it, you're going to be losing equity every day if you put the money down on it, because the house is really only worth $190,000. Look at all the foreclosures in this area, and you can go to the bank, and that's something that they're not discussing here in Arkansas. They're saying, well, there's an upswing. When you go to the realty track and you look. And this is something that most real estate brokers won't do. They won't look at Realty Track. They won't do their due diligence. Most real estate agents out there that work for brokers don't even know about it. And because about 80% of real estate brokers across America, they don't have a clue on how to use Realty Track reports. And we're talking about just last month, their Realty Track is saying that foreclosures are down 4%. Well, okay, they're down 4%, but there were still 343,000 homes foreclosed on last month. You know, that's 80. It goes down 4%. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 87,000 homes. So that's 87,000. But that's only for the month. For the month. So we're talking about this. These reports are not for the month of September. But these are the reports of last month. Because when you're talking in the real estate world, your month that you're talking about is the previous month of what the date is. So they're really talking about the 2 months back when they talk about last month, and last month it went down, you know, 87,000. Well, that takes you go back to July. So in July, they had 431,000 homes foreclosed on in July. Well, now you start looking at these figures, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about just this year alone, just this year. There's been 32 million homes foreclosed on in America and resold. And many of those that were foreclosed on and resold have been foreclosed on again. The second time, those homes that are on the second foreclosure, they're not even through the court system where the foreclosure is. And a lot of these homes, Don, illegal immigrants move in, and they move in there, and when they move out, you would think the house is under construction.
Yeah.
Because they go in and they steal everything. From fans to, if they find copper pipe coming out of the water cooler, or the hot water tank, they start ripping the pipe out until it gets to the plastic. That's how bad it is.
Well, yeah, in respect to that, I want to shift gears just a little bit, but this is related to it. You know, I mentioned the $50 trillion, and what we're finding out are there are several characters from China who have been involved in the prevention of the prosperity or the abundance accounts from being released. We've talked about that on other shows. This has to do with investments that were made anywhere from 20 to 30 years ago. And those bonds matured, and they basically not paid them out. They've stolen the money and tried to use it as a vehicle to hypothecate more funds. Now, these were legitimate funds, but many of these had been held in offshore accounts. So what does the Treasury do? They print new money, trying to get this out into circulation, trying to clean the dirty money under the pretext of having their hands on the good money. The Queen of England is in some hot water. She was, as of a couple of days ago, she was here twice. She went back to London for some kind of a memorial service and came back again. And there's a guy who's got what they're calling the suitcase, which is a whole bunch of information about 9/11, who was involved, and he's threatening to release this. It's probably going to get released. And, of course, they're trying to stop this from happening. You've got Queen Beatrix in Holland, or the Netherlands, whatever you prefer. Prince Charles is playing a role in this. And they're even talking about the queen possibly abdicating her throne. Now, what would cause that? Well, the information getting out about her role in all of this, because she's been partners with the Bushes. Now, this isn't because they are British. I wrote about this in my Three Stooges article in parts 1 and 2, where I'm talking about the Battenberg family, which is the original name of the Windsors. They are of German origin, and about 100 years ago, they changed the name to Windsor. They're being called to task on this, and of course, you're not going to hear Christopher Story report about this. I think it's a different situation in England than it would be here. But that information has come out from several sources that the World Court, even though certain people have been bribed, they've caught the ones that have been bribed and basically taken them out of circulation. You've got the same issue with a woman calling herself the Dragon Lady, or they're calling her the Dragon Lady, and a guy by the name of Ming, who is obfuscating these funds with China. So you've got people in China that actually want to do the right thing, and you've got this rogue government that is siding with Bush, Clinton, Obama, and the Queen of England. Because basically they lose their grip, this New World Order grip. The whole House of Cards comes tumbling down with this. And so we got to pray for this guy that's got all this information. Of course, we've got plenty of information as well. We've figured out that 9/11's an inside job, and it doesn't really matter who's behind it. The government played a role in it. And they've played roles in other false flag events that have occurred around the world. So this is a sign that things are falling apart for them. They're getting pretty desperate. So what do? They push the vaccines. They push martial law. They push all of this corruption, spinning it to make us think that we are at fault. And it's just one diversion after another. Go ahead and comment.
It is one division. And poor people out there are getting the idea that well, you know, now that we've got one of our own in, well, they don't even look at Obama as being a half-breed. They look at him as being black, and he's giving them money. I mean, they say, well, and the question is, where's he getting his money? And the lady in the background, she makes a comment, she, well, I don't care where he gets it. He's getting it from his stash. You know, all they care about is the number of money. Well, what's this really all about is over in Detroit, there was only 3,500 people that was going to be able to get some money that Obama had forgave the state of Ohio for giving the government, and meaning the Washington, D.C., and it is, I should know Ohio, I meant Michigan, and the state of Michigan has ordered to give that money out to the people. Well, of the 3,500 applicants that are going to get it, they made up 5,000 applications, figuring that they would be able to get 3,500 out of that 5,000, but 90,000 people showed up for the applications. Ladies and gentlemen, give me a break. America is in a dire need. We're in a depression, quoting Bob Chapman today. We're in a depression, and the American people walking around with blindfolds on.
Yeah. You know, I got an email, Drew, a couple of days ago.
I got one, too.
The two cities that were bombed with atomic bombs during World War II.
Hiroshima, I know what two cities they were.
Yeah, Hiroshima and Nagasaki have been completely rebuilt. You wouldn't even recognize these cities.
I got news for you. I was stationed there. I didn't recognize Hiroshima when I was in Hiroshima in 1971.
Oh,
didn't look like a city that had been totally bombed to nothing but rubble. And now today, if you look at Hiroshima or Nagasaki and compare it to cities like Detroit,
well, that's
or
what
Chicago,
I've heard. Yeah.
And you want to wait a minute here. This look, you know, if you would have put the pictures down on a desk and have a group of sixth graders in an elementary school walk by and look at these nighttime pictures of these cities, they would swear that the pictures with all the lights and the big Ferris wheel would be Detroit or Chicago, and the cities that were dark and with just a few hot spots would be Nagasaki or Hiroshima. In actuality, it's reversed. You want to know who won the war? Well, the Japanese won, ladies and gentlemen, because we've rebuilt Japan to a grandeur that they had better than what they had before the war, World War II started.
And Detroit looks like it was hit by an atomic bomb.
And Detroit looks like it was hit by the atomic bomb. But I feel it, a bunker buster bomb where somebody just went in and just started taking down the houses and letting them rot.
Yeah.
Houses that at one time were the grandeur of America in built with solid wood, and they've been left to just fall apart and rot because the banks foreclosed on these houses 10 and 20 years ago in bad neighborhoods, or even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no takers because the gangs run rampant. The police won't even go into the area unless there's two or three cop cars together.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a big fan of Michael Moore, but he had a movie out some years ago. In fact, I think it was his first major documentary. It was called Roger and Me, and he was trying to get into General Motors to interview the chairman, and the city of Flint was going down the tubes at that time. They laid off a bunch of workers.
Haven't heard much about Flint, Michigan in the last few years, have we?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I want to tell you, that place is like a ghost town, my friends.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just referring to the fact that despite that movie coming out, and it was a pretty good movie, I have to give him credit, because he was pretty dogged in his attempts to expose what was going on. But they covered it up. The unions were protecting their particular deal with GM, and they weren't acting in behalf of their constituents, the guys that paid the dues, and they would show block after block of foreclosed, shut down, boarded up homes with the sheriff's padlocks on them. People just left out in the streets. And that spread to Detroit, even though they just got a new stadium a couple of years ago to play baseball. These ballparks they're building cost upwards of $250 million. If they put a roof on it, you can figure it's $500 million, easy. And these are sources of ready cash for these guys, these exorbitant prices that they charge at the concessions. You order a hot dog and it's $5 or $6. Hamburgers are $12. An order of French fries is $6 or $7. A beer is $7 or $7.50 minimum.
I like the fries. I mean, they're cheap at $7. I could, yeah. That's a decent price. But you know, for $7, I could go buy a bag of fries. A 20-pound bag of potatoes, and I can make some fries. We're in the wrong business, Don. We need to get in the French frying business.
Well, you know, the people that own the concessions, if people knew who it was. And it's the same people that supply the foods to the prisons. They would be up in arms over this. But, you know, you accept that. If you go to a sporting event where they're charging ridiculous prices for these insanely extravagant salaries that they're paying these guys, this is all the reward for diverting the attention of the public. And keeping them dumbed down.
See that it's the same exact scenario that the Roman government did, and I should say the Roman government, but the Roman Caesars did in the last days of the Eastern Roman Empire, where they had the gladiators out, and literally it was a big party, and the nation just fell apart right there in front of the eyes of the people. Just literally fell apart. It's amazing that there is a duplication going on today. And where are the Roman Colosseums in America? Just visit Dallas, Texas. The new Dallas football stadium. Visit the new football stadium in New Orleans, the new football stadium here. Those are the arenas, the baseball arenas. We're now we're talking about the large new baseball parks that cost $100 million to build. We've got the New York Yankees back in the World Series, and I started looking at the record books, and I'm wondering why all these other professional baseball teams even exist, because it's like the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers are wrapping up the World Series about 80% of the time.
Yeah, well, a lot of that has to do with TV contracts and the obscene amount of money that's made through syndication of those programs. And there's a giveaway right there in the word program. They're programming everybody.
Giveaway, yep. Is right.
You know.
And what's out there right now in the idiot box that everybody is enjoying? It's the the new TV programs. You know, the latest one out there is called Fast Forward, where everybody went to sleep for 2 minutes and 57 seconds.
I haven't seen that one.
You know, they go to sleep for 2 minutes and 57 seconds, and they dream of what the may have happened, or what's going to happen in the future. And when they wake up, they know what the future is going to be like, and they've got an opportunity to change it. And a number of people are committing suicide. They know they didn't have a dream, so they know they're going to die between now and March the 22nd or whatever day it is that they're supposed to wake up. I mean, it amazes me the stupidity of the American people.
Yeah. Now we've got some tragedies that have been going on for the past couple of weeks too. I haven't talked about these very much, but we had the 8.3 and then the 8.0 earthquakes that struck American Samoa and the South Pacific, and a lot of people died both in the quakes and in the tsunamis that followed those events. And very little reported, again, by the media. Very little. It's been handled quite a bit on the alternative media. But we can't seem to get straight answers. And I would venture to guess that those two earthquakes were instigated using technology. They've done it before. They did it back in 2004, resulting in hundreds of thousands of people dying. And people just take it in stride like this is a natural event. But, you know, when it's a natural event, it has the signs of being a natural event. And I have to say that these quakes don't appear to be natural. And I'm not alone in that opinion. I don't know how you feel about that, but you know about all the technology that they have. And the, you know, these are sort of warnings that they give to people that aren't playing ball with them.
Hey, guy, I was working in electronics back in the 70s in the United States Marine Corps. The technology that we're using then is just now being brought out to the American public today as one of the greatest things that's since sliced bread is invented. And I wonder, I said, well, if we had this technology in 1977, and they're just now releasing it today, what kind of technology do we have in the military now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we know, you know, they're using scalar weapons, and they're
just look at the communications. I mean, we're talking about electronic photographic imagery in the 1970s that is now being used on your cell phone. And we had that technology back then. We had the capability of instant communications between commanders in the field in 1977, and today it's supposed to be a novel idea where you can go to just about any cell phone store and pick up a phone and you've got instant communication back to your house with your kids. It amazes me at what we have that our military has supposed to have. And you look at how much the government says it takes to outfit a soldier in the field today, that he literally goes in the field with $40,000 worth of equipment on his back, and they show him standing there with a big old backpack on him that's twice his size, and you wonder what's in the backpack, but it's not what's on the backpack, it's what's on his belt and what's on his head with the communication device. Or the new guns that are being ready to be issued. The M16 is on the way out. We have better weapons, and we've got better weapons that's been designed by former Marines that aren't being used by the United States government that are being made in places like Singapore. There is a rifle that a former United States Marine designed and built and could not get the United States government to even look at it. But he sold it to the governments of Kuala Lumpur, and they make a rifle in Kuala Lumpur that makes the M16 look like a toy. It weighs like a pound and a half. It has accuracy at 900 yards, like a rifle with a scope on it at 300 yards, that the M16, for instance. It has a drum magazine holder that holds 500 rounds of ammunition, and it only weighs 15 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a big-time problem when our government won't spend proper investments with people that want to help us, but they'll spend hundreds of millions of dollars with their cronies on weaponry that's obsolete already. But we do have shotguns that have been designed and developed 15 years ago that literally would make the new 12 make a 12 gauge look like a BB pistol. It amazes me that the American people are being told all these lies and secrets. Where do they get off with all of these secrets? When I've got news articles out there that portray our leaders in Washington being paid $887,000. Nobody wants to talk about Goldman Sachs paying $887,000 to Gene Sperling, who is the senior treasury advisor. Well, wait a minute. Did you hear that right? $887,000 was paid by Goldman Sachs to the senior treasury advisor for Obama, and he gets $158,000 for a speech? Ladies and gentlemen, wake up! $158,000 to be paid to come to a dinner function with a bunch of bankers, and you go up and you talk for 38 minutes, and you get paid $158,000. This is ludicrous. $158,000 is 5, 6, 7 times the poverty rate in America that the government says that you're poor if you make less than $24,000. Well, Drew Malone Raines III in Little Rock, Arkansas, makes less than $280 a month, and all my bills, ladies and gentlemen, total less than $170. You know, I don't know where I'm going to get the money to pay the taxes that I even though I own my property, I have to pay the government a yearly tax to live in it. There's something wrong with this. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get back to freedom and liberty without licenses. We got to go back to the foundations of this nation. When I pick up a paper and I see that Obama is going to forgive the tariff duties that are owed this nation from Malaysia, that he's going to forgive the tariff duties from Argentina, he's going to forgive the tariff duties from Pakistan, you walk into Walmart and you see the T-shirt selling for $6. You buy the T-shirt for $6 because the other one on the wall over there sells for $17.95, but it was made in North Carolina. But you can afford to buy the one for $6.95 made in Pakistan. You take the one from Pakistan off and you wear it once. You put it in the washing machine and it shrinks three sizes. Or it falls apart. Or the buttons fall off. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to stop this spending your money on lackluster goods. And you got to stand up and say, hey, look, Washington, D.C., you're supposed to be the protector of we the people, not selling us out. These people owe us money around the world, and you're forgiving what they owe? George Washington went to war in the Whiskey Rebellion because the tariffs on the whiskey were being cheated from the government. That was 210 years ago, 15 years ago, 215 years ago. And we have had military men die for this nation, for this nation to grow and prosper, and every time I turn around today in the year 2009, we've got Hillary Clinton running around the world forgiving the debts of the other countries and putting on orders, well, you better not do this because we're going to make you the bad guy. Well, today or yesterday, Putin stood up to Hillary Clinton and said, we have reserved the right to first strike if you attack Iran. And the word is out, ladies and gentlemen. The word is out. Pay attention. The word's out. China, France, Venezuela, Brazil, Russia, Germany, they're all Iran, are all foregoing the U.S. dollar. They're trading with other currencies other than the U.S. dollar. The only Middle Eastern nation that isn't even looking at dropping the U.S. dollar is Saudi Arabia. Why? Well, because they've got such a lucrative contract deal. They want the U.S. dollar. They want American money because they're buying American land here in the United States. You've got all these houses. You can remember, many of you out there, remember the 1970s when the oil bust in Texas just went to nowhere. And total suburbs in 1980, total suburbs in Houston, Texas, where there were maybe 300 or 400 homes, maybe 2 or 3 homes were occupied. 2 or 3. The rest of them had been foreclosed on. That's how bad it was in Houston, Texas when the oil bust went. Well, now it's payback to the rest of the nation. And you gotta wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Gold might be sitting around $1,000 and it may go higher yet this next week. And why? Because the miners, the men that are mining gold in Peru, the men that are mining gold in Paraguay are going on strike. And yet the Chinese hold their hands into the largest gold mines in Southeast Asia, and they are going to close the gold mines down to investigate the mining catastrophes that have gone on there over the last 6 months. So gold may just shoot up, but when they turn around and they start harvesting the gold from all of these mines around the rest of the world, they can manipulate the gold. You gotta wake up, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta wake up. You really do. This long-legged MacDaddy is destroying this nation, sending his counterparts out there. Am I off base, Don?
No, you're right on point, Drew. Right on point. You know, I'm reminded of a story that I heard not too long ago where a guy in Freeport, in Indonesia, who was sort of a manager at one of these gold mines was asked by his supervisor to basically clean everything up. The owner was coming there the next day. And who was that that showed up? Henry Kissinger. You want to think these people aren't involved in every aspect of theft that can occur on the planet? The names just come out. It was no accident.
And all of this goes back to Obama's quote. I have got to find the speech that Obama put out last July where he made the comment, not last July, I'm talking about a year ago July, he put out 15 months ago, that he made the comment, you will know me by the circle of advisors that I bring to the government. My government will be the most open-minded government this nation has ever seen. And what do we have that we should know about Obama? That he says, you will know me by those that I circle myself with. Well, they're communists. They're pedophiles. They're queers. Homosexuals. They're elite fascists,
Drug smugglers.
Drug smugglers. Rapist. And he says these are the people that I'm putting in charge in government. People that manipulate fraud, like Lewis Alexander, who is another advisor, and he is the chief, he was the chief economist to Citigroup before joining Obama's administration. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He was paid $2.4 million. And yet, Citigroup fell on his posterior. And this is the man that moved from Citigroup to the federal government agency in finance and the treasury, and yet he made $2.4 million. Yeah, he had to get out of that job because if the truth be known, he'd be prosecuted for fraud.
Well, you can go back to the time when Carter had the problem in Iran with the hostages. And that all resulted in the downfall of the Shah. Rockefellers owed a lot of money at that time, and to get out of paying for it, what do? They started a war. They started an international incident. They had the war between Iraq and Iran, and then they had this hostage crisis. Well, they end up with another dictator in there under the pretext that the country had shifted to a religious regime, meaning the Ayatollah Khomeini. And they're getting ready to do the same thing again.
Exactly. I love America, Don. I love America more than any other country in the world. And I love it because we have the right to criticize her. And we have a right to stand up under our free speech, but yet we're being attacked and being made those that complain and question the government actions. We're being made the criminals. Now, you may have heard those words that I just stated before, because James A. Baldwin had a quote that I used today on my own show. And that I kind of paraphrased his quote because it's the same way I feel in the fact that I love America. But I also know that I'm not an American. I'm not an Athenian. I'm not a Greek. I'm not a British. I'm not a German. I'm a citizen of the world. I'm the first member of my family to circle the globe. Literally, circle the globe. I've seen places that my family have read in books. I've had uncles that fought in Europe. I've got my father and uncles that fought in Southeast Asia. But nobody has gone and fought in places around the world and then turn around and instead of coming back to the United States, just continue to circle the globe. And I have circled the globe and I have witnessed the poverty of the poor, the object poor. You would be amazed at what poor really means in Southeast Asia. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be a pretty sight when this nation falls on its face, when the rest of the world comes out and says the paper that you call American dollars is not worth the paper it's written on. And that's coming fast and furious. Big time fast and furious. I am a member of the world. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe in God the Father as the Creator. I believe in an intergalactical federation. I believe that there's more to the universe than what we're being told. I believe there's more to the bombing of the moons last week. I believe that there was more people involved in the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I believe that there was more people involved in the World Trade Tower explosions. I believe that there was something more to the blowing up of the Murrah building in Oklahoma. I believe that there was something tragically wrong with what happened in Waco. I believe that the American public have been lied to, chastised, massaged, placed over in a TV room with their seven-course dinner or their nine-course dinner and made to sit there and sucked up to some idiot box. I believe if you would get off your posterior and take the idiot box and turn it off, unplug the cable, and start enjoying your kids and working with your kids when you come home at night. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you've been working 8 hours a day. My father worked 14 hours a day and still would come home and play with his six-month-old son. My uncles would work 8 to 10 hours a day in the 50s and still have time to play with their, come home and entertain a nephew who wanted to go fishing because their own son wanted to go fishing. I believe that we've got to get back to a moral nation. If we don't, we're not going to have a nation. And we're going to revert to something that's far worse. Far worse than what the governments of the world called the dark days of the dark ages. I believe the big pharmaceuticals out there are poisoning America. I believe that the natural herbalist out there, whether it be Wendy Wilson or Mary Jo Mondello or 500,000 other natural herbalists in America, that can give you remedies for your problem and keep you healthy. I believe that you only need an education to protect yourself. You don't need $250,000 worth of income, but you do need to work with your own children instead of enjoying that six-pack of beer and that hot dog, i.e. seven-course dinner. I believe if you would work with your wife in cooking supper and cleaning house and taking care of the yard, that you would have a happier family. I believe your children would be a whole lot happier with your wife at home raising the kids and taking care of the house. And that's not to enslave the wife. Why don't you do it? Let the wife go work. I believe that America has lost its way. And if I can go out here and train myself to live on less than $1,500 a month and be happy that, hey, I lowered the cost of living to $800, and then I lowered it to the cost of $550, then I lowered it to $375, and now I can live, ladies and gentlemen, on less than $250 a month. But there's a lot of things that I have to give up. There's a lot of things that I have to fight for. Literally. My right to be free and live free with liberty and not with a license. I believe America's got a better future if we, the people, will stand up. Anytime that anybody wants to stand there and tell you that you've got to go to a concert and pay $20 for a ticket so some movie star or actor or singer can make $25 million to fly into town and come on the stage, I think Elvis Presley would even walk over and turn over in his grave when he sees the amount of money that you Americans are paying for concert tickets. To go out and watch somebody on a stage sing a song. I got news for you. I would not pay that money just to be in that atmosphere with 80,000 people that are watching somebody. That's not entertainment. I would rather go to a local bar and listen to somebody that I can look up at less than 25 feet away. And hear them sing a song. That's why I've got my stereo speakers set up on my computers. I don't use cheap speakers, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, I don't have to listen to the garble that you have on cheap speakers on a television. I bring my theater to my home. I don't pay $25 to go to a play that is a film festival program. I don't pay $12 to watch a movie in a theater. And I want to let you all know that it's ludicrous out there to pay $1.25 to $1.50 for a 7.62 bullet. Especially when I personally have gone out and found that, wait a minute, here is a company over in South Carolina that sells 500 rounds for less than $340. And yet, the mass media goes out and tells you that the American military government man is paying $1 a round for ammo. I believe we got a problem in America. I believe that we have got socialist, communist, fascist, Nazis running our nation. I believe if we don't just stand up and do something in the very near future, we don't take the Constitution, set it down on a desk, and grab our military and say, look, you're a police officer, you're a military man, you have an obligation to me to protect me, to protect the Constitution and the government, the real government, from the enemies, foreign and domestic. Our government, my nation, my county, my parish, my city block is being attacked by domestic terrorists. Your job as an officer in the United States Marine Corps, the United States military, is to protect me. So it's time, yes, it's time to start saying the unthinkable. It's time for a military coup in the United States of America. Because I feel that under the moral obligations that you and the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, your obligation to truth, honor, justice, your loyalty to freedom, your belief in God the Father, I believe that if you would get off your duff and take this nation and say, whoa, this stops. It stops now. And take out all of these jerks in Washington, D.C. and try them under independent tribunals. Not a tribunal appointed by their own cronies. A tribunal appointed by citizens around the United States. We would find all of these jerks in Washington, D.C. deserve to be in jail, minus maybe two or three. And that, it doesn't stop with the 435 in Congress and the 100 that sit in the Senate. It doesn't stop with the people that are sitting around the big chair called the cabinet. It doesn't stop with the 9 justices of the Supreme Court. Every one of them need to be taken out and investigated for atrocities and crimes against we the people. It's time to start talking revolution in the form of honest individual takeover of this nation. It's time to start saying, we've got to take this nation back. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, to stand up and say, hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore. It's time. And if you don't agree with me, and you don't, I'm not talking about taking your guns and taking over the nation. I'm talking about educating the military to say, no, sir, we're not going to kill another civilian in Afghanistan. We're not going to kill another civilian in Iraq. We're not going to kill another civilian in Okinawa. We're not going to kill another civilian in Korea. We're not going to kill another civilian in any South American country. We're not going to put our defensive forces, i.e. Border Patrol men, in prison for protecting the country anymore. We're going to say an investigation needs to go down right now. You want to get rid of the Taliban? I'll tell you how the Marine Corps can get rid of the Taliban. How the generals behind the scenes talk about getting rid of the Taliban. Starting at one end of the country with 100,000 Marines, you march from one side to the other. And as you do so, when you go through and you take them out, take out the evil, you make sure the school gets rebuilt, you put in the water system, you train these people to do the work themselves, you train the people to work in waterworks, in street repair, in picking up garbage and hauling it to the dump, and taking care of the schools, you help have a printing company put together books so the girls can learn to read and write instead of being sold into prostitution and slavery at the age of 9, 10, and 11. You educate the children. Granted, they want to be Muslim? Let them be Muslim. Don't force feed democracy on a nation, but at the same time, take out all the evil. Take the poppy plants and burn the fields. Show the people how to grow their own food with non-hybrid seeds that they don't have to buy from some corporate elitist of the United States or Germany or Australia. And you can feed the people. Show them how they can feed themselves. It would take a year or 2 years for the United States Marine Corps to do it, but it could be done, and we wouldn't lose the 4,000 men that we've lost over the last 8 years. Granted, some men will die because the Taliban's not going to give up their stranglehold on the fact that they have got control of the poppy fields. And who's really got control of the poppy fields? The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the super elitists. Because they are enslaving you. Take a good hard look, ladies and gentlemen. In the 1800s, all the way up until 1910, you can walk into a pharmaceutical store and buy an ounce of cocaine for $5. You could buy laudanum, which is basically opium in a bottle, for $2, a 16-ounce bottle. Did America have a lot of dope addicts, dope heads, running around killing people? No. So wake up, America. It's time to stand up and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. You want a classic example? V for Vendetta. Shows you what government can do with a pandemic. The movie V for Vendetta. Watch it. You want to see what's coming in our near future? Pick up a movie. Any movie you want. Michael Collins. The true story of the Irish leader of the 1920s. Pick up the movie A Shadow on the Land, a movie made in 1971, showing the United States falling apart and the American money being burned in front of the United States Capitol because it was worthless. That's what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, and it's coming fast and furious. People like Bob Chapman are out there doing their best to educate you on the financial stand. Don Nikoloff is doing everything he can to investigate who these people are and what their real names are and how they're interrelated. And yet, we've got the people that own and operate BBS Radio, and what do? They put the talk show host out here to let you know what the truth is. Where are you? Are you doing anything? Are you just sitting there with your seven-course dinner listening to me go hoarse because I'm on a radio show not being paid a dime? I don't get paid to do this. I do this because I love America more than any other country in the world. And I do. I love America because I have the right, and I insist on that right, to be able to criticize her perpetually, forever. I'm not an Englishman. I'm not an Irishman. I'm not a German. I'm not a Russian. I'm not a Chinese. I'm not Spanish. I'm 157. I'm all of this. I've got a little blood of every nation in the world in me. My ancestors intermarried. In the history of my ancestors, go all the way back to the Ukraine, but the French blood, the Swedish blood, the Irish blood runs wild in me. The German blood runs exclusively in me. And I'm not going to go quietly in the night. A man's country is not a certain area of land, of mountains, rivers, or woods. It is a principle and patriotism of loyalty on the principle of liberty. And you can take that to the bank and get paid gold with it. Sorry about that, Don.
No need to apologize. Sounds like you've been listening to Pastor James David Manning.
Yeah, I take lessons on how to shout and rant and rave.
Well, you're getting your booming voice back. You touched upon every issue, especially, what you talked about in regard to the family. People are so willing to give their children up to the government, to bureaucracies, not really paying attention to what's going on. You know, do parents know what their kids are being taught in school? Wow. When you hear the things that they're being taught about sex, they're even teaching them in preschool now about this stuff.
You really don't want me to start screaming on that subject.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm bringing it up.
You really don't want me on that one. I got a dirty old knife. I'm ready to turn a bunch of these roosters into hens on that one.
It's just one thing after another. And you're telling the truth. There's nothing wrong with what you said. There really isn't. And it's true. What you're talking about is the restoration of the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic, the lowercase United States of America, not this international cabal that is operating under maritime administrative law, pleasing the whims of these international bankers. I'm reminded of what Lieutenant Colonel Eric Schein said. He's a merchant marine. He's part of the international shipping industry. He says that there are 10,000 American ships, 200 of which are flying the American flag. The other 9,800 are flying foreign flags. And that in and of itself shows the amount of corruption that's going on, that they just hand this over to other countries because of the hot water they've gotten us in because of all of this corruption. And people don't want to wrap their minds around the figures, And that's okay because they're having enough trouble just balancing their monthly budget. But they should think about the extravagance, the waste that's spent on these trips around the world in attempts to try to bring some cash flow into this corrupt system so that they can kickstart more corruption. The people are just sitting back, not questioning anything. And, you know, I share your disgust, I have to say. I do. Do we need the whole country to fall in line and wake up? No, we don't. There's a magic number that tips the balance. Many say it's only 5% of the people. But they have to do something about it, as you said. When you're saying stand up, you're saying get off your rear end and start doing something. If I read you correctly, and I believe
that's
I
exactly,
am.
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean.
Well, Drew, I want to encourage people, if they don't get your news and views, your daily newsletter, which is chock full of all kinds of information about what's going on, they should go to your website, amd.elequity.com. Again, amd.elequity.com, and sign up for your free newsletter. You'll be happy to send that to them, won't you?
I sure will, and I want to let everybody know that's A Marines Disquisition, spelt with a D. It kind of sounds like he don't say an AMB as in boy, but it's AMD
no.
as in David.
AMD, D.
And,
D is in
Don. If you want to know where I got this term, disquisition, I got it from John C. Calhoun, who wrote and utilized this old word, old English word, disquisition of government. And that was the title of his theme just prior to his death. It was a disquisition of government, 300 pages long, that he wrote prior to 1852. And it was printed just after his death. And he foresaw the War of Northern Aggression. And he foresaw this internal conflict, and he was trying to let the American people of all colors, of all nations, i.e. the individual states. We are a group of individual states, ladies and gentlemen, united as a nation. We're individual countries united as a nation. We're not a nation corporate facility with divisions of states. We're a group of independent, sovereign nations united under a one creed together. And read the Constitution. The Constitution is a limitation of power. It's not, it's got rights in it, but yes, it's a limitation of power on those people in government. The Bill of Rights were your rights expressly brought down, because if they hadn't of, it's just like Patrick Henry would have said, and the reason that Patrick Henry fought so hard to make sure that we had a Bill of Rights, because here we are today. We have 435 men in Congress, 100 men in the Senate. Granted, they may be men and women. You want to play the generic term? I'm tired of the generic term. I mean, this interracial, you've got to say men and women. Well, it's leaders in government that have traded their soul for just a few years of grandeur. In the few years of grandeur, they're going to be placed in hell for what they've done. And you've got to wake up that John C. Calhoun wrote his disquisition. An American disquisition over 150 years ago. And it was about educating you, the American people, of that time, but it was as if he wrote it today. It's like my great-great uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, war is a racket. It's like he wrote it in 1933 for his great-great-grandnephew to read it today and warn you that war is a racket. The elitist, socialist, communist Nazis are in power in Washington, D.C. They are the evil domestic enemy. And if you don't do something, you're going to find out that you're going to wake up and you're going to be spoon-fed. And you're going to be having neighbors drug off and placed in some gulag somewhere on American soil. That's all I got to say there, buddy.
Well, it's a lot. It's a mouthful. Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show. Tonight, we're out of time.
I keep telling you, I'm not on your show, man. I'm just in the background talking. I'm not out on the doghouse. I'm not on the show. I'm just out here talking.
Well, we're going to have you on again. Actually, I gave you a week off to, next week. We're going to have you on the 28th, Wednesday the 28th.
Oh, so I get to go fishing on the 22nd. Good.
Either that or you get to let your hoarse voice heal.
I only have one more radio show to do the rest of this week. I canceled the other three.
All right, well.
Somebody said, I got an IM here. He says, what radio show you got to do? And I says, I wrote her back. I says, ours, on a Marie Siskel session.
All right, well, I want to thank you for your passion and for what you do. And I encourage folks to sign up for your newsletter.
Can I ask a pleading? Can I put a pleading out there?
Sure, go ahead.
This isn't a ten page pleading, ladies and gentlemen. It's not entitled United States District Court for the United States of America. It's entitled, if you win the lotto, would you do me a favor and put a few dollars out there for me? Only if you win the lotto.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate everything you're doing, and I'm sure the listening audience does as well. Lots of things we're going to talk about on your next visit. I'm sure this bird flu thing is still going to be, or the swine flu is going to be out there. So if you haven't noticed, they're keeping the propaganda going. And
I won't even go out.
Yeah. So you take care and have a great rest of the week. I'll be listening to your show, and I guess I'm on again next Monday.
Monday.
Well, we'll have plenty to report. So I wish you a great night, Drew, and get some rest. Rest those vocal cords.
Good morning. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Be sure to sign up for his free newsletter. Again, go to AMD, as in dysentery with a capital D, .elequity.com, AMD.elequity.com. Special thanks also to Wind Talkers Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio for broadcasting this show. And want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.